This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Right now, get the lowest price at EdenPure.com with code word GRACE. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me on this beautiful Friday. I was talking a lot in this first hour about Glenn Kessler. And not because I'm a fan. Glenn Kessler wrote an incredibly offensive piece about Senator Tim Scott. And a lot of people know Senator Tim Scott is very proud, as he should be, of his incredible life story, his ancestors, his background. And that involves his family. And I always remember this line. They went from cotton to Congress in one generation. It's enough to give you chills. But not if you're a Democrat. I should clarify, because the Democrats, especially Glenn Kessler, wanted to fact check this. And of course, I couldn't come up with anything. I mean, it was a true story. There's no lies in it. So they just kind of denigrated the story as best they could and implied that somehow his story wasn't as remarkable because his family owned land. And it's this kind of mentality that I think is exactly what we think of when we say liberals are actually racist, because Joe Biden said it once to Charlemagne. He said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And this is Glenn Kessler's version. Tim Scott is Republican. He thinks differently than Joe Biden. So his story doesn't count. And it's incredibly offensive. And so I was on my Twitter, I was going through and I saw this great tweet from Paris Denard. There are no words for how intentionally offensive this headline is trying to fact check the family of Tim Scott. For his grandfather and family, please apologize for reducing their amazing story to a tale. And it's not a little known fact that blacks own land. We know. Paris Denard is the GOP national spokesperson and director of Black Media Affairs. He's very talented and you guys should check out all of his work. Paris, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Paris, let's break down exactly why Glenn Kessler wrote this story, what he thought he was going to accomplish with it. And do you think, my real question is, do you think he's going to apologize?
So the reason why Kessler wrote this article, and I consider it to be a hit piece, is because he wanted to attack Senator Tim Scott because he's giving the response to Biden's address to Congress.
Right.
And so he wanted to find a way to tear him down. And look, this is how Democrats and liberals play the game right now. They do it along the lines of race. So he just wanted to play the race card. The headline was offensive. And when you look at the premise of it, he was trying to white-splain to America about the black experience. Excuse me. Black people own land. Yes, that is true. But even if that is the case, that Tim Scott's family had 900 acres, 1,000 acres, 2,000 acres, to go from cotton, picking cotton, and the black experience that he had in the South, to go to the United States Senate, giving the response to the President of the United States, is the quintessential American story that we should all celebrate and not have some person at the Washington Post try to fact-check him, to fact-check his story, to fact-check his family. And you asked me, should he apologize? Or you actually said, will he apologize? The answer is probably not. You know what they do? They double down on their ignorance. They double down on their racism. They double down on their bigotry. I'm still waiting on Joe Biden to apologize for the things that he did in the 1994 crime bill. Has yet to happen. And
yeah.
Yet the ramifications of it are still hurting black families across the country. That's what liberals do. They don't care about the ramifications of their words. Maxine Waters, still waiting on your apology as well.
And Paris, there does seem to be a narrative in the left, or I should say a desire to pick certain black people who they think push their narrative, or, you know, that they want to hero worship or put on a pedestal. And then other people, yourself included, Tim Scott, Kanye West, black men who don't fit their narrative, they put down and they delegitimize and they want to silence your voice. And I remember seeing an interview with Kanye West, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, my parents are part of the Civil Rights Act. They didn't fight so that I could agree with what white people told me to agree with. And when I see this about Tim Scott, I'm thinking, just because he's a black man who doesn't agree with the mainstream media does not mean he's any less exceptional.
It's true. This is what they did with Justice Clarence Thomas, and even Amazon Prime or some one of the platforms prevented his movie from being featured during Black History Month. What happens is, if you don't fit within their liberal narrative, the box that they have for you as a black person or as a black male, if you're a free-thinking, independent-minded conservative, you are like Joe Biden. You ain't black. You don't have a connection to your culture, to your family, to your community. That's what they want Americans to believe, because they're threatened by that fact. They're threatened by the fact that President Trump received 26% from the black male vote, 26%, more than doubled his support from black women, going to 9%. That intimidates them, because if they have the stronghold on the black community, if they have the stronghold on that in the Democrat Party with the vote, they know that they can win elections into perpetuity. But if you have a Republican like Donald Trump, if you have people listening to Senator Tim Scott and others and changing their mindset on what it means to be an American and the conservative principles that could help in terms of free enterprise and empowering and uplifting communities, you know what's going to happen? The vote's going to change. And you're going to see that number go from 12% to 24% to 34%, and it continues to go up and up and up. That's what they're afraid about. That's why they try to cancel us. That's why they try to have these salacious headlines. And that's why they're attacking great Americans like Senator Tim Scott. It's offensive.
I absolutely agree with you. And I think that's why they hit so below the belt and they do things that are really racist, because they're panicking. There's a real panic that sets in when especially a strong black man decides, you know, I'm going to be a free thinker and I'm not going to necessarily agree with everything you're telling me to agree with. I see it in the mainstream media. There's this absolute, they push the panic button and they start trying to discredit that person. They start trying to convince that person that they're crazy, that they're, you know, like you said, you ain't black. And it's just, yep. The only thing that's surprising me, Paris, is that not more people see this for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because the mainstream media is in the pocket of the Democrat Party, and they just keep pushing out their talking points. And you know who else is under attack? Women, conservative women. If you're a conservative woman, they try to just belittle you. They try to say, oh, your accomplishments don't matter. They try to attack you and say that you're not connected with your femininity because you might be pro-life. This is what they do to conservatives. So it's not just black conservatives or black male conservatives. It is all conservatives. We have to stand united together and push back on this false narrative and help educate the public. And this is why your program is so important, because you allow your listeners to hear the truth. And we need more people like you.
Thank you, Paris. And I would say the same thing to you. And you actually, you're making me think of something. I was talking to someone this morning and I was thinking, every time you have an argument with a liberal, I used to be afraid of that. I was like, oh, I don't know if I have enough, you know, I don't know if I have enough facts on my side. But what I notice is when you have an argument with a liberal, they immediately go for this emotional manipulation of, oh, you don't. I've had people say to me before, you don't care about black people, or you don't care about poor people, or you're racist, or you don't care about immigrants. And it's once you get past that, like you said, once you say, you know what, I believe what I believe, I'm a good person, I'm not going to be shamed into feeling a certain way, that's when your argument can really trounce theirs, because they don't have any common sense on their side. It's all emotion.
It's all emotion. I was telling a group of youngsters this morning that attend an Episcopal school here in Dallas, Texas, and their school, they've been trying to get the Pledge of Allegiance there, and they were prevented them from saying the Pledge of Allegiance because they said it was racist. They said it shouldn't happen. And I told these young students today, I said, do not be intimidated, because that's what the left wants to do. They want to intimidate you into silence. And once they do that, then we will not speak out. And once we continue to speak out about the truth and stand up against this liberal mob, we will be able to change the hearts and minds of the American people. More and more people will come to our side and say, you know what? Free enterprise makes sense. You know what? Having safety at our border, having a border wall is important. Enforcing our laws is something that we should do. Increasing taxes is probably not a good idea in the middle of a global pandemic or the economic concerns, and for small businesses. They will start to see our side. So that's why they want to keep us quiet, and they want to mute our voices. But we have to be, like you said, continue to not take the bait and not let them label us and define us and be proud to be conservative. And
exactly.
That's why I am proud to be a conservative.
I hear that, and I think you just put that so well, Paris. Paris, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to follow you? You have some great tweets, and where can they read your stuff? I know you do some stuff for Fox and other places.
Yeah, if you go to my Twitter, which is @ParisDenard, @ParisDenard, you can follow me there. And you can see a lot of the videos and things that I do at the GOP Twitter account as well, and our YouTube page for the RNC. A lot of my stuff is there also.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Paris. We hope to have you on again soon.
I hope so. Thanks so much.
He's absolutely right. You know, it's it, and that was, I'm glad I waited on my rant, Jared, because it has, that's exactly what I want to talk about, is the gaslighting and the emotional manipulation that's going on right now in this country to conservatives, and how you can't fall for it. You got to stand up against it. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. Like Paris said, it's not a good idea right now to start raising taxes or increasing people's burdens. A lot of people already feel very burdened right now. But that's not going to stop the Biden administration. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or decades. Sell today with J.J. Manning. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency-free. There's a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted J.J. Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row, because they have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with a broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. Some sectors are at all-time highs. Others are losing ground. Don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy, too, before you cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be back on the other side, and we'll open up the phone lines, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes the girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Old New England Soap. Old New England Soap makes the best wood wick soy candles that burn for up to 100 hours, as well as goat milk soaps, bath bombs, and now offering gift sets for Mother's Day and any occasion. Go to oldnewenglandsoap.com. That's O-L-D-E. OldNewEnglandSoap.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will Glenn Kessler apologize for his Tim Scott piece?
You know what? We just talked to Paris Denard. He said he's probably going to double down. I'm going to say no, he will not apologize.
97% of the audience says no.
All right, good. I wouldn't want to be part of the minority on this one. This
racist.
No, not like that. Mark, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello?
Yep, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling about that great, was Kessler, is that his name?
Yeah, Glenn Kessler.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm pretty conservative, but I know a lot of people on the left, and they seem like the most miserable people. I don't know why they get joy out of saying negative or something bad about other people. And that guy Paris, I believe, was 100% right. Don't let him bully you. I mean, the racist stops so many people in their tracks. I mean,
it doesn't
mean anything anymore.
It does.
It doesn't mean anything. And I've had a liberal friend argue with me, and I just say, hey, look, I'm very comfortable for the way I feel. I do the best I can in my life. I try to meet people different of all shapes, sizes, and colors and sexes. You know, it's not a big deal. If people went into the cities like Boston, I'm in Brockton. You know, there's a lot of black people, white people, all kinds. And people in the supermarkets, you know, they'll hold the door for you, whether you're black or white. Whoever, the black might be holding the door, the white might be coming in, and vice versa. People get along. It's just the media and these miserable people on the left that cause all the problems. And one last thing, Grace.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see the, like, Al Sharpton and all this, this is his solution. This can't be. We've been oppressed for so many years. What's his solution? This can't be. There's no solutions. How about just treating people with respect? And that's all I had to say.
You know what, Mark? I'm a little annoyed with you because you just stole my entire monologue. No, that was a great, great call, and you're absolutely right. What Mark said, which I really appreciate, is that calling people racist stops them in their tracks. And it's a really powerful word, which the left has destroyed. I know I say it all the time, guys, but George Orwell wrote about the destruction of words, and that's exactly what the left has done. If everybody's Hitler, then nobody's Hitler. You take the potency out of words when you use them so willy-nilly, and there's a real fear in America of being canceled or being ostracized or being called racist, or even as a young conservative woman, something that was hard for me to grapple with a long time was being told that I don't care. I'm not as virtuous as everybody else. I don't care enough about people. I'm selfish. You see this now with the mask thing. You're selfish. You don't care about my grandma. All you care about is yourself. And if you disagree with them, you're racist. You don't care about black people. You don't care about poor people. And Mark hit the nail on the head. They know it stops people in their tracks. They know it stops the conversation. It's their way. It's like rocks, paper, scissors. It's their way of ending the argument. And they don't want anyone to have, they don't want an honest conversation. Because if they wanted to have an honest conversation, you discuss policy. You discuss common sense things. But what they like to do, and you see it every day with Jen Psaki when she gets out there, is that they like to question your morality. Because that is such a vague, weak, pathetic tactic, and it works. If Jen Psaki can frame everything under the guise of, well, we're more moral than the last administration, and that question is offensive because you don't care enough about people, she's not giving you any answers. Just like Al Sharpton, he's not offering up any solutions. He's just labeling everybody else, and it's a protective shield around their argument. And they think it silences people and it delegitimizes any point you have to make. Because think about it like this. If I'm arguing with someone, especially right now when the common sense, guys, I'm telling you, if you're a conservative out there, black, white, woman, man, young, old, I'm telling you this right now. Don't be afraid of their arguments, because the common sense and the facts and the science right now, it's all on our side. That's the beauty of it. And I learned this. Started this show in January. I was so nervous about getting a liberal caller. Would I break down? Would I not know how to handle it? Would they, you know, best me in an argument? It doesn't even have to be an argument. You just have to believe your opinion and say it, and they crumble. They start getting all hot under the collar, and they start saying, you don't care, you don't, and then they'll give you like a really vague story about a friend of theirs. It's always the same. And you can't fall for it anymore. I'm not going to be canceled. I'm not going to be told I'm racist or that I don't care about people or I'm not a nice person. Just like Mark, I try my best every single day. I love my family. I love my friends. I'm nice to strangers. I try to be. So whatever you're going to lob at me, you got to come up with something better than that. And I think that goes for most conservatives. Do not back down. We'll be back on the other side. We got a lot more to get to and a lot more sound. 844-500-4242. Call in. Call us for the rest of the show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I got a little distracted today. I was chatting with my VIPs, and I had a whole stack of stories I was going to read right before the show. Then I just kind of lost track of time. I thought, you know what, that's okay. I got a lot of sound. But during that last break, I gave one of these pieces a read, and I have to say I'm laughing out loud. It's in defense of teenage knife fighting. And it is wonderful. And Howie Carr, I know you're listening right now. I will send this to you so you can print it off for your show. This is hysterical. It's by Charles C.W. Cook. Now, before I read it, let's rewind here. Let's set the stage, Jared, shall we? 3 days ago in Ohio, two teenagers were fighting outside. One of them had a large knife. The police were called to the scene, and a police officer shot the teenager wielding the knife, trying to stab the other girl, who's now being called the girl who was wearing pink. She was in a full pink outfit. He shot the person holding the knife, and that teenager died. People like LeBron James and, other liberal celebrities came out and said, and we're basically trying to villainize this police officer for doing his job. And then there was, you know, Kathy Griffin, Joy Behar. Joy Behar had arguably the stupidest take. And I'm getting too revved up here. You see stupid takes, and it's just like fake news. You think it can't get any faker than that, you know? It can't get any stupider than Kathy Griffin saying, you know, we've all gotten in knife fights before. And then Joy Behar comes out and says he should have just shot his gun into the air, which I'm not a gun expert, Jared, but I assume after the bullet goes up that it has to come down.
I'm going to follow the science on this one and say yes.
Right. So the defense of this teenage girl who was killed and this attempt by the left and by the media to paint her as the victim in this. And I'm not saying it's not sad that she's dead. I do think that's tragic. I think I wish her life had gone very differently. I wish she hadn't been outside about to stab someone. And I'm not making light of it. But this attempt to make this police officer seem like the next Derek Chauvin is outrageous. And most people figure that out. LeBron James tweeted out a photo of this guy and wrote, "You're next." With a little, what are those things? Like a, it was like a timer with the sand in it.
Hourglass.
Hourglass, thank you. I got a lot going on here today. Forgive me. So he puts out a little emoji of the hourglass and does hashtag accountability. There was tons and tons and tons of bad takes. But a lot of people were asking the cops, like, well, why can't you shoot them? And why can't you shoot somebody in the leg? Or why can't you shoot the gun out of their hand? Or, you know, why can't you use a taser? And the cops were explaining, well, because that's stupid. And that's not what we're trained to do. With all that being said, I want to read you this piece here from Charles C.W. Cook in defense of teenage knife fighting. I will tweet this out so you guys can share it with your friends. It's absolutely hilarious. Just when I thought that America couldn't possibly get any softer, people start suggesting that there's a role for the police in preventing knife murders. The snowflake generation strikes once again. Is there any tradition that the radicals won't ruin? As the brilliant Bree Newsome pointed out on Twitter, teenagers have been having fights, including fights involving knives, for eons. Go! And now people are calling the cops on them? I ask, is this a self-governing country or not? When Newsom says we do not need police to address these situations by showing up to the scene and using a weapon, she may be expressing a view that is unfashionable these days, but she's right. Disappointingly, my colleague Phil Klein has felt compelled to join the critics. In a post published yesterday, Phil asked in a sarcastic tone whether the police should somehow treat teenage knife fights as they would harmless roughhousing and simply ignore it. Now, this is Charles writing. He says, my answer to this is yes, that's exactly what they should do. Yes, even if they are explicitly called to the scene. I don't know where Phil grew up. But where I spent my childhood, Fridays were idyllic. We'd play some football, try a little Super Mario Brothers, have a quick knife fight, and then fire up some frozen pizza before bed. And now law enforcement is getting involved? This is political correctness gone mad. It's hypocrisy, too. Who among us hasn't come within a second or two of murdering someone else with a steak knife? My best friend in school, Bobby the Blade Simpson, used to throw shivs at the smaller kids in the music room. Did we need the authorities to step in when that happened? No, we did not. As MSNBC's Joy Reid argued smartly on her show last night, pranks such as these were dealt with by our teachers, just as we all expected they would be. And if something went wrong, well, that's why we had substitutes. In all honesty, I worry that this sort of helicopter policing is making us weak. Back in my day, the people who survived a good stabbing came out stronger for it. I learned a lot of lessons from my time in the ring: self-reliance, how to overcome fear, the importance of agility, the basics of military field dressing. And given the turnover, I also learned how to make new friends. Today, the free-range generation to which I belong is dying out. And this time, it is not from wounds inflicted by everyday teenage knife fights, but because our politicians and activists simply cannot leave us be. From the time of the Colosseum, our civilization has had a tradition of lightly regulated, highly entertaining combat. Who are we exactly to think we know better? A highly sarcastic, but highly effective piece of writing. I really enjoyed that. I'll tweet it out. Great work by Charles C.W. Cook. This is what we are being told, though. If you're a cop, it's always been a job that is really, really tough. But especially right now, when they're trying to get you to go through this rigmarole of things that they think is going to help the situation, when really you don't have time. He was expected to know what this girl's age was, that she called the police, what the situation was, how would he know that? It's really, really, really insane. Someone brought up to me today, which I thought was brilliant. These body cams. Everybody wanted body cams for so long. Sometimes the body cams don't go in the way that the left wants it to go. Sometimes the body cams actually debunk a narrative. They squash this idea that all cops are evil and racist and nefarious. So what happens then? Are we going to get rid of the body cams now? That's my question. Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Grace, I just want to let you know I am calling. I listen to you on WGAN up here in Portland. You are following a legend up here as they moved you into the Rush Limbaugh spot. I gave the show a chance, and I just want to let you know you're definitely not David Lee Roth. I really like the show. You're finding your own voice. I love the segments you're putting together. I really enjoyed the Karen snitch line the other day, reading those in character. That was awesome. But really, where you got me hooked and made me look forward to your show every day is I really love your journalism in the news segment. That is great. And whoever put together the bumper, I love listening to that. I love when I can catch that. I think that clip at the end with just the, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? You know, I can just imagine Caitlin Collins going, oh, why didn't I ask that question? You know, I think that just sums up journalism today, and I love the way you put that together. Again, I love the show. You're young. I think you've got a really long career ahead of you, and I can't wait to see what you do next, and keep doing what you do, because I think it's great.
Dave, thank you so much. What a great call. And I have to give all the credit for journalism in the news to Jared. He put together that fabulous little introduction, and I love it too. Sometimes I try to find something just so we can play it. And as a matter of fact, Dave, because of what you just said, Jared, let's give the people what they want. A little bit of journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
Yeah, there's so much fake news every single day, and Dave is absolutely right. It makes for a great segment because you don't really even have to look. It's just there. I think today, Jared, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, it's Glenn Kessler. He is journalism in the news. This is the state of journalism today.
It's a fact. He is fake news.
Fact check. You are fake news. But I also want to play a little bit here because another great person when you're talking about journalism in the news, she was just mentioned in that last piece from Charles C.W. Cook. That would be Joy Reid. And she had on a very special guest with her. Auntie Maxine is what Joy likes to call her. The liberals like to call her. Cut 17, please, Jared.
I'm just pleased that I still feel strong enough and able enough to go out with the young people and say, Auntie Maxine is here and I support you and I want you to be activists. I'm so sorry that it causes pain oftentimes with my colleagues. Many times they're in these districts where they're frightened, where they have a lot of racism, where they still haven't moved to the point where they can have a decent conversation about these issues. And sometimes it's very difficult for them, but they stood up with me today. They put me up for censure because of my visit to Minneapolis. And my colleagues stood with me and they voted to table the motion that was put up to censor me because the Republicans...
Hold on. Did she say sorry at any point during this for her comments?
Auntie Maxine does not apologize.
Very true. Very true. You guys, I'm really excited because we do have to go to the break here and we have a lot to do, but I believe Jared, and I don't want to say fake news. I don't want to report fake news, but yesterday we played some sound from Greta Thunberg. Okay. And I was listening to it. And I just started thinking to myself, she sounds as if she is a supervillain in like a Batman movie. And she's going over the intercom and telling everyone, like, you have one option, and that option is to care about the climate. And I couldn't even listen to it without picturing that. So I said to Jared, we got to put some scary music behind it and really make this into something. And you know what, Jared? I totally forgot about it. I wouldn't have even ever thought of it again. But I see it on my cut sheet, and I'm going to listen to it for the first time when you guys are listening to it for the first time. So we will enjoy that. But before we get to that, I do want to let you know that allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. And when you do, see, I like to use it inside because I cook a lot. You guys know I don't cook a lot, but my fiance cooks a lot. And when he cooks steaks or chicken and stuff, it smells really good at first. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, ugh, got to get the smell out. Just turn on the thunderstorm. Really small, really easy, no air filters needed, and it works like a charm. Now, Jared likes it because of his allergies.
Yeah, I'm actually looking out our window right now. We have one of those white flowery plants or whatever.
So pretty.
When the wind blows, they just start blowing everywhere, blowing their pollen everywhere, and it's absolutely miserable. You get the scratchy throat, the runny nose, the watery eyes, your chest feels tight. You feel terrible, but I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Actually, I have two of them, but I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm for that. It's that small device that she's holding. You just plug into the wall, you turn it on, and immediately, and I mean immediately, the air around you starts getting cleaned. It's actually getting ionized, which is getting rid of the allergens. It gets rid of the pollutants. It gets rid of odors and some viruses. It helps you to breathe clean air, which is a huge deal for somebody who has trouble breathing because, you know, breathing's important. I know John Kerry wants to get rid of all the CO2, but unfortunately, I have to expel that when I breathe, and that's made easier by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm.
Climate denier. That's what you are. Guys, you just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. One more time, that's EdenPure.com, radio banner, put in code word GRACE at checkout. We'll be back with everyone's favorite supervillain, Greta Thunberg. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
This hour of the Grace Curley Show is brought to you by the Howie Carr VIP Studio Experience. Tickets are available now with experiences beginning in May. To order, go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the VIP tab.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I just went on Twitter to see if Glenn Kessler, offered any apologies. He's retweeted the article out a couple more times, and he just wants to clarify that the information about his ancestors being Nazi sympathizers is fake news.
Are they actual Nazis and not just sympathizers?
No, I think someone got the wrong name. So just to clarify that, we wouldn't want to besmirch Glenn Kessler's name while he besmirches Tim Scott's name. All right, guys. Today's poll question is brought to you by Old New England Soap. Old New England Soap makes the best woodwick soy candles that burn for up to 100 hours, as well as goat milk soaps, bath bombs, and now offering gift sets for Mother's Day and any occasion. Go to oldnewenglandsoap.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Glenn Kessler apologize for his Tim Scott piece?
No, he will not. He will double, triple, quadruple down.
98 now. Percent say no, he will not.
It's just so rude. It really, really, really irks me. Because if you want to debate someone's policies, that's fine. But for the party of Elizabeth Warren, and trust me, Glenn Kessler is in the party of Elizabeth Warren, to come out and start criticizing or picking apart someone's story and say, oh, I don't know, it has some nuance. Well, he's not lying. You're not lying like Elizabeth Warren lied or Joe Biden has lied. A lot of these Democrats have just blatantly lied. He's not plagiarizing another person's speech. There isn't some Irishman who said, oh, my family went from cotton to Congress in one generation. A thousand generations. That would be Joe Biden who steals those kind of things. Tim Scott has a real, incredible, authentic story. And for Glenn Kessler, this white guy with a bow tie from the Washington Post, to try to denigrate that is gross. And I said it before, but it says so much more about Glenn than it says about Tim Scott. Jared, without further ado, can we please have the production of Greta Thunberg, supervillain?
How long do you honestly believe that people in power like you will get away with it? How long do you think you can continue to ignore the climate crisis, the global aspect of equity and historic emissions, without being held accountable? You get away with it now, but sooner or later people are going to realize what you have been doing all this time. You still have time to do the right thing and to save your legacies, but that window of time is not going to last for long. What happens then? We, the young people, are the ones who are going to write about you in the history books. We are the ones who get to decide how you will be remembered. So my advice for you is to choose wisely.
Wow. Jared, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I feel like you're in the wrong career. You should be scoring movies in Hollywood. She really, I feel like sometimes you get more done when you're a little bit less threatening, harsh, super villainy. Just an idea, Greta. What do I know? We'll be back on the other side. We got a lot more to get to. Do not go anywhere. It's Friday, and this is the Grace Curley Show.
How dare you!